we're going to continue with our journey to discover the spiritual realms that are in us and around us, the heavenly realms, that pathway that's going to take us on the way to relationship, intimacy, but also responsibility. We're at first love stage, and this whole module is about first love, engaging God within our spirit and seeing how that relationship with God within our spirit helps us to understand who we are, who he is, and then leads us into an experience of how first love gets worked out in our lives. We've looked at being a house of God, a mountain, a gateway, dwelling place for God's spirit, and now we're looking at first love. Last week we looked at what first love was and the importance of it being first, and how love in the Word of God is shared in different ways, but God's love is very much an experiential choice that he makes and we make to love him. And today we're going to look at identity and intimacy. Essentially, everything of first love is where we engage God in our spirit. He lives within us when we've been born again. He comes and dwells in us, but we have to choose to let him fill us on a daily basis. It's a daily choice that we have to make to open the first love gate, to let his presence, Father, Son, Spirit, his glory, so many descriptions of what it is to feel his presence within the inside of us, but to fill our spirit and then fill soul and body and around us to produce an atmosphere of love so that we walk in love, we experience love, and others can experience love and see God's goodness and mercy demonstrated through our lives. We looked at why first love, what is first love, why is first love so important? Well, because our whole eternal destiny, the destination that we will end up in eternity in, is at stake on the basis of our experiencing and knowing first love. And that means by personal experience, not just head knowledge. And that's the key when it comes to love. You can read Mills and Boone's books about love, you can watch TV programs about love, but if you want to experience that, you have to have that personal relationship and encounter for yourself. True first love is the primary and most important relational encounter and experience we can ever have, because it's with love himself. And it is available to us every day, just through the opening of a door and the giving of an invitation for him to come in. We have a tendency to believe that we are human beings that are having a spiritual experience. And the reality is, the truth is, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And that is totally different. It might not seem very different, but actually it is a totally different way of thinking about who we are, what our identity is, and therefore how that will work out both in time and eternity. That means we are eternal beings. And so we will end up in one place or another in eternity, because we cannot die, because we've been made an eternal spirit. But where that spirit is and how that spirit functions is very much determined on the relationship that we have. We have to understand what our true identity is. Our true identity is not our humanity. Our true identity is the divine nature, the image of God that we were created in. Now, when you start talking about things like that, it freaks people out. Well, you're saying you're God. No, I'm not God, but I'm made in the image of God, and I'm made a spirit like God to be like him and to be conformed to his image. Therefore, I need to be transformed. When we begin to see our true image restored, that whole divine nature functioning in us and out of us, around us, then we can begin to function without the earthly limits that our physical body puts on us. Because our spirit gives us access to unlimited dimensions and relationship with God. We just need to tune in to our spirit rather than what we've learned to tune into, which is our flesh, our body, our mind, our soul. When we begin to function in who we really are, then we can begin to fulfill our true destiny as sons of God. God created us to be his children. Then we will be able to do the works and greater works that Jesus said. And those greater works are not just more of the things that he did, but things that he did beyond what he could do here on this earth. because he was living in both places, and he came out of eternity and stepped into history and changed history so that we could re-engage with eternity. Genesis 2:22 is the first time love is mentioned in the whole Bible. Now, the first time something's mentioned, we really need to take a note of it because it sets a precedent. Now, this was to do with Abraham, and this was several thousand years after creation. And this is the first time love is mentioned specifically. It says, take now your son, your only son, whom you love. Now, that's God talking to Abraham. But it's also God talking about himself. His desire for the son he loves to impress and express that into this world. Isaac, and go into the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you. And again, something important happening on a mountain, a place of authority. This first mention of love is in relation to the willingness to sacrifice. And I think as we look at love, we'll see that that is a key element to understand as we go forward. 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, a willingness to sacrifice. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So what we've received, are we willing to give? 1 John 3:1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God. So God wants to demonstrate his love to us so that we could understand who we really are, our actual identity in him. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, or of the Son of God, another version says, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So love is about giving. And God so loved us, and Jesus so loved us, that he was willing to give himself up. Am I willing to give myself up to him? And what does that mean? Am I willing to be who he created me to be? And that is really what our sacrifice is. To sacrifice all our good ideas, our good intentions, the things that people may have said about us in the world, to embrace what he said about us in eternity and how he created us to be there. Am I willing to give up everything to be who he created me to be? Because that actually is what love is. 1 John 4:16. We have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now this is talking about relationship, dwelling, intimacy, him being in us, we are in him. You couldn't get anything more intimate than that when we really encounter what it means. God wants us to understand love and experience love and experience him. So intimacy is living and dwelling in a love relationship with our Creator. True first love with love himself is where we find ourselves. We can only find ourselves there. Everything else is a projection of our experiences that we have had in this life. But we can have all those experiences redeemed and brought back into alignment with who we really are, our identity, our value, our worth, our esteem, our significance, are to be encountered and revealed in first love, in that first love relationship with our Creator and the lover of our souls. It's not just our spirit he loves. It's all of us. It's who we are he created us to be. It's just things have got messed up, and our souls have got messed up, and our spirit was separated from him. When we come back into relationship, our spirit gets joined with him, and then our souls can become transformed. First love is where all the answers to our deepest questions are found. Who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Where do I come from? We can find the answers to those questions in our relationship and in first love. Our eternal identity and destiny is completely connected to love. That is where it can be explored and revealed. Our identity can only be revealed in a true love relationship with our Creator. Our destiny can only be outworked in a love relationship. To know who we are, we must know who God is, and he is love. 1 Corinthians 2:9, things which eye have not seen and ear has not heard and which has not entered the heart of man. So this is saying there's a whole lot of things that we may not yet have seen, heard, or understood, but God has prepared for those who love him. So God has prepared so much more than we can imagine or think. His desire and heart for us, beyond even what we could even understand or express right now. Some of my recent encounters with God have been sort of fairly inexpressible. But I'm trying to find a way to engage with it, because it takes me beyond what I know here in this realm into something which comes out of his heart in eternity. First love releases destiny. Our first love as a response to his first love. We can only respond because he first loved us. He made the move in creating us. He made the move in sending Jesus to restore us into relationship. We had pre-existed in eternity as thoughts within the heart or mind of God. Psalm 139:13. For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. Verse 16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. God has always known us. He's always had an intention for us. Another version of that, Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in your book all my days were recorded, even those which were purposed before they had come into being. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. This is what God wants to reveal to us. How he thinks and how he feels and how he sees us, which will then change how we see and feel and think about ourselves. We are no random accident of nature. God always intended that we should exist. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece, created in the Messiah Jesus to perform good actions that God prepared long ago to be our way of life. God has always had this prepared for us. 2 Corinthians 9:8, besides, God is able to make every blessing of yours overflow for you, so that in every situation you will always have all you need for any good work. In other words, God has the resources available for us to outwork the plan and purpose that he has for our lives. They are, again, to be found in him. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So this is not just something which is ethereal and spiritual. There's a very practical outworking of it that we need to be and demonstrate and reflect who we are as God, in God. Expressing who we were created to be brings glory to God. And as we reveal him in and through and around our lives, he actually loves it when we look like him and when we do things that reflect love, because it shows the world what true love is. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, a really well-known scripture. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. See, God has given us his written and living word to help us understand and outwork our destiny in him. So when we read the Bible, it's like a love letter, revealing who God is, opening up an avenue for us to experience him so that we can then know him and outwork that in our lives, in a personal experience. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my anxious thoughts, see if there be any hurtful way in me. And all that is part of the transformation process of surrendering, asking God to restore our soul, our hearts, our genetic material, so that he can lead me in the everlasting way. What is the everlasting way? The way that he had for me in eternity. But there are some things he needs to do and help us to do in our lives to bring us to that point where we can walk that way. So transformation is being conformed to his image, the image of me that he created, not an image that just looks like him. Because sometimes I think people think, well, I don't know what Jesus looks like or what God really looks like, so how can I be made in his image? This is the image that he made me to be to reflect him. And that will bring me to my everlasting way or my destiny or the destination that he has for me in my life by being transformed into the image that he created for me. Philippians 1:6, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is not going to finish with us. He's going to continue transforming us if we allow him, so that we can become from one degree of glory to another more like him. 2 Timothy 2:22, 1. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Again, there is a process that we become like him when we allow him to deal with the things in our lives which aren't like him. Attitudes, mindsets, belief systems, behaviors. When we surrender those things to him, he forgives us, cleanses us, restores us, and changes us so that we can outwork the good things that he's prepared for us. Colossians 1:10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, our knowledge of God is not full. It's an ever-increasing relational understanding and experience of him. How could we hope to know God out of a book, or in theory, or in theology? It's a relationship, and that relationship will be unveiling more and more of who he is for the whole of everything. Not just time, but eternity will be an ongoing relationship where we discover more and more and more of him. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He loves it when we're in relationship with him. There is such pleasure in his heart when we are engaged in first love and intimacy. John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Now, expand your thinking about what commandments are, because we tend to think that they're rules. If we keep the rules, he'll love us. If we don't keep the rules, he won't love us. That puts us into dead works and bondage, because the reality is, the commandments, if you think about them in a different way, are the words that he's spoken that reveal who we are. And if we just follow the words that he's spoken that reveal our identity and our purpose, then we are demonstrating our love, because we're just surrendering to that will and purpose. And it goes on to say, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. God will reveal more and more of himself to us when we surrender and just follow the path, that eternal, everlasting path that he's prepared for us. Verse 23 of John 14. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. We're not limiting this to the Bible, because he's the living word, and that word is eternal. So if we keep his word, we'll be keeping those thoughts and those things that he has said about us. And when we get to know him, he starts to tell us more and more those words. He reveals himself and he reveals us. And it says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This is the intimacy of relationship that we have going on the inside of us when we surrender to that word, that truth. So the way to know that we love God is that we align ourselves with his thoughts, words, and will of our eternal destiny. That's how we really know that we love him. It's not an emotion, although there are emotions involved. It's a choice. Are we willing to let go of all the things here in this realm to embrace all the things that were in that realm so that all the things in that realm can be manifested in this realm. That is God's desire for us. We are in a relationship with the living Word. This is not an external code of practice, a law, but an internal love relationship. It says the whole law is summed up in one thing. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. So love does equal obedience. If we deny the path of self-knowledge, that pathway of good and evil, to follow the true ancient path, the eternal pathway revealed in God's heart, and agreed by my Spirit before the foundation of the world, that is what love is, that is what obedience is. Just coming into agreement with what God already says. And my Spirit actually agreed that before the foundation of the world, because of Adam's sin and what got passed on, we have spiritual amnesia until we get born again and our spirit becomes reconnected to the truth that then begins to reveal that to our minds so we can live in it. So my heart formed from the genetic record of my parents' generations, but my spirit was formed in the womb of God's heart. And my spirit then can begin to transform the genetic record so that I can be like the order of Melchizedek, no genealogy derived from my generations, but that which comes from eternity. The vast sum of his thoughts about me are written and recorded on the scroll of my destiny. And God wants us to engage that scroll. And over the last few weeks here in worship, you know, I've been seeing scrolls and scrolls, just wanting to be released. Jesus bringing scrolls, the angels bringing scrolls. God wants us to engage in who we really are. Mark 12:33. To love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than about burnt offerings and sacrifices. So much more than what was in the old way of doing things. First love is love with everything. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant. See, this is something which was there in eternity. Even what Jesus did had an eternal dimension which was released into time on the cross and then operates in the future and the past. Because it's eternal. The blood of Jesus, the Lamb, was shed before the foundation of the world. Even Jesus our Lord equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is an eternal relationship that we're involved in. First love is eternal. God is eternal love. John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me, which is us, be with me where I am. Where I am is talking about relationship. I am in the Father is in me, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. See, love came from the very beginning. We think of the beginning being time, but obviously there is no beginning because God is infinite. Eternity has no beginning, has no end. So love has no beginning, has no end. We need to intersect with that love and experience it so we can engage with a love that has no beginning and end and live the eternal life that God has called us to live. Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So we've been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Why? Because he was slain before the foundation of the world. That we would be holy, blameless before him in love. So our love of him enables us to be holy and blameless because of his love for us. Revelation 3:13-8. The Lamb was slain in sacrifice from the foundation of the world. The power and the effect of the cross is not limited to time. So it can change our life from before our conception right to this point. The power of the cross is available to transform and change us. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. It's not by what we've done. It's not by what we've deserved, what we've not done, what we have done. It's all to do with what he's done for us. We just have to receive it and enter a relationship with him to experience everything that he's done for us. Because this has come from eternity, always God's desire to be in relationship with us. Now, the depth of that relationship is something we really need to get hold of. And I want to share this from a place of expression of what it is to be joined to somebody. 1 Corinthians 6:15 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ?" That's who we are in him. "Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, two shall become one flesh." Now that's obviously talking about what happens in earthly intimacy, in relationship, when we open ourselves up to that level of experience. We open ourselves up to the person that we engage with. And if we're Christians and we're in the body of Christ, obviously we don't want to open ourselves up to something which is wrong. But then he compares it with the reality of the relationship in him. But next verse, 1 Corinthians 6:17, "But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him." So in this sort of equating our relationship with Jesus in intimacy with the relationship of a natural intimacy, he's comparing the giving of our body in erotic love and being joined to the past of the person, because that's what happens when you give yourself illegitimately to somebody. You are joined to the past of that person. You open ourselves up and become one flesh. A whole lot of problems get introduced as a result of that, which we usually need to have to deal with. Soul ties, all sorts of emotional things and spiritual things as a result of that level of intimacy. And obviously, when you do that within covenant in marriage, then that opens up your life to each other in the right way. But when we join ourselves to God in first love, we become joined and entwined and connected to him and one spirit. Now, I think it's so hard to even understand what that means. Yes, you can see what it means in the natural when you give yourself to a person, but God is talking about giving ourselves to him and becoming joined to him so that we become one spirit, which I think is an amazing thing, and it's a journey of experience that we're on. We become connected, past, present, and future, when we give ourselves in first love to God. So we become connected to the past and eternity and the present and the future. We can engage in what was eternally to transform what is now to reveal what is meant to be. That's the depth of relationship that opens up when we give ourselves in first love and experience that intimacy. We come home and know the heart of our Creator once again, connected to eternity. And it's an amazing place to go back into the heart of God. And I encourage you to pursue that. Set your desires of your heart upon intimacy with him at that level. Every part of us open to him. Our very DNA and every encoded sequence of our genome exposed to the fire of his eyes. We sing that song about his fire never sleeps. It's like his fire never sleeps. And his fire, the fire in his eyes, is not a punishment or a bad thing. It's the depth of the power of the knowledge of the relationship of love that he has for us, that he looks at us through that love and he sees a transformed being. And then he enables us to be transformed into what he sees. We need to be transparent, vulnerable, open, and revealed before his eyes. That's scary for many of us who have bad experiences of love in a natural sense. But it's the only way that we're going to be able to engage him and know who we really are. All barriers, protective coverings removed and abandoned to his love, trusting him implicitly. Now that doesn't happen in an instant. This is a relationship which grows and develops. But it has to be the desire of our heart and our willingness to pursue that relationship, step by step, bit by bit. This is our first love, our true first love for him. To be open to him. First love is inviting God to access us. Every thought, every emotion, every memory, every experience, to penetrate the deepest recesses of our lives, to engage every fiber of our being. That's what first love is when we give him permission to engage us in that way. And we have to give him permission because he's knocking on the door asking us to open the door. So it's our choice whether we embrace that. He gives us free will to make that choice. But when we make that choice, we enter into love. Again, Mark 12:30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Everything. Love and vulnerability. If we're not truly vulnerable with God, then we're going to struggle to find our true destiny. It's love and transparency. It's love and trust. God spoke to me this week and he said this, I release love's sound, love's frequency, love's light that will draw people's hearts to come back to my heart. God is releasing a sound, a frequency, a vibration of love that's engaging people differently in different places. It may engage you differently as individuals, but God is releasing that sound. It's coming out of heaven. It's a sound in the realm of the spirit. And it's a sound that's designed to draw you into love. A call to restore oneness, true spiritual intimacy. I release the prophetic sound and the symbol to engage the cross, where what was meets what is to reveal what will be. And that is the picture of infinity symbol. It's also the symbol of covenant, of what happened in a covenant relationship where you stood in the middle, where a sacrifice was made, where blood was shed, and you exchanged things from each other. And in a natural covenant, that could be cloaks, where you exchanged a coat that said, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. Sometimes there was even a blood exchange, blood brothers, blood covenant, where they exchanged wounds to exchange blood to say we are now eternally connected. And this is where we can stand at the point of the cross and we can engage what is now, but we can look back into what was the beginning to then see what will be. Now, if we could see every outworking of every decision we made before we made it, I would say it would probably change some of the decisions we might have made. And God wants us to see what was so that we can actually engage that now to begin to change what will be in our lives. From this place of covenant, this is a sign, a symbol that I've been drawing in worship with my hands for ages. It's like my hands just starts to release this signal. It's also a sound that we sing in many songs, a series of notes that produces a sound that's calling and wooing and drawing us into this intimacy of relationship. Now, many of you have heard that sound. Many of you have sung it. You know, I've been singing it. It's like we've been engaging it with Yod Hey Vav Hey when we've been singing that. It's bringing us back to a place of intimacy where we can actually engage back in eternity and look forward from that place to see a change so we can write history. True covenant exchange is where the eternal changes the effects of my past to restore my future. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, that is love's true definition, which is a line from a song. Love's true definition is my Savior, my healer, my restorer, exchanging his life for mine. That is true love. The greatest exchange, where eternity's love took my sin and gave me his righteousness and restored my eternal destiny. That's what God has done through the power and the victory of the cross, where we can engage and experience true first love, the most powerful love there is. Why? Because there's a purpose. Romans 8:19. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. God is wanting to reveal us as his sons, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God, to bring restoration to the whole of the created order, not just to this world, not just to our lives, but to the whole of what God has created, to restore it. And he's looking for sons to embrace their destiny, to be part of that process. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. God desires children. He desires us to come into relationship, and he desires us to be releasing our destiny so that others will be drawn towards him. And this is an amazing love. Romans 5:5, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 8:35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Verse 37, in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. We can overcome anything through the power of love. We become more than conquerors. Verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the power and the depth of love. We are wired to be made whole and complete by love's higher frequency. We're going to look at engaging that frequency next week. But we have to be abandoned to that, overwhelmed by that, intoxicated by that, transformed and conformed by that love, so that our destiny can be an expression of love. I want to finish again by some words from songs that we sing, and quite popular songs today, because we sing these, and I want to encourage you to actually experience the words of what you sing. Your love has ravished my heart, taken me over, and all I want is to be with you forever, with you forever. Pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. Because your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. And then you have this sort of ooh, ooh, oh, oh sound, which is part of this sound that's been coming out of heaven. How great is your love for me? How great is your love? Pull me a little closer. Take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart, because your love is so much stronger than anything I've faced. We sing that song. We need to experience that song and live that song. Words could never say the way he says my name. That's the thoughts that he has and what he says about me in eternity. He calls me lovely. Now, that's not a description many people would say of me, I guess, lovely. But God says it. God actually says that because he's seeing me from his eternal perspective. No one ever sees the way he looks at me. He sees me holy. Words could never hold this love that burns my soul. What love? His love for me and my love for him. Heaven holds me, because this is from eternity. I can't hold my love back from you. I can't hold my love back from you. What does it mean? I've got to sing my love. God doesn't want us just to sing it. He wants us to surrender to it and experience it. You would not believe the way he touches me. He burns right through me. And I could not forget every word he said. When did he say those words? He says them in eternity, and he wants to whisper them to me now. He always knew me. You see, we sing these songs, they're so engaged in this whole process of engaging eternity in first love. Earth could never hold this love that burns my soul, because heaven holds me. Eternity holds me. We're going to end up living in that spiritual realm. Another song. You place the stars into motion. You call to the light and it came into place. Every detail of our beings you created. Like a good father, you take care. You hold my being. You wrap yourself around every detail of my life. You place everything in motion. All I have to do is stand in the palm of your hand, because I mean everything to you. Your love frees my soul. Fear has no hold, for you have broken the chains. Now joy fills my life, your spirit, your light. I'm undone by the kindness of Christ. Nothing can tear us from the grip of his mighty love. We've only glimpsed his vast affection, heard whispers of his heart and passion. It's pouring out. There is more and more coming. His love is deep. His love is wide. It covers us. His love is fierce. His love is strong. It's furious. Now, we've not sung that song, but it's a song I listen to quite often. It's furious. Now, think about furious love. His love is sweet. His love is wild. It's waking hearts to life. The Father loves and sends his Son. The Son lays down his life for all. He lavishes his love upon us. He calls us now his sons and daughters. He's reaching out. It's waking hearts to life. He is waking hearts to life. Again, we sing this one. Your love, it burns inside. Our hearts are satisfied by you. Your love is our reward. It's why we ask for more of you. So let this love be like a fire. Let our life be like a flame. Fill our souls with your desire. Let our passion bring you fame. See, we sing that. Are we experiencing it and living it? Because God wants us to. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. It's a song of surrender to his way in us. My heart aches for you, my God. My soul waits for you, my God. I've come far to find you here. In this place will I draw near. Your spirit inside me holds me close. In your wonderful presence I let go. I cleanse my hands. You burn my heart. I cry out for love. You set me apart. Your spirit soars in me to the highest height, from where I'll not look back. Now I'll keep trust in you. See, songs are emotional expressions of things that we don't normally say. But we release creativity to express something which are emotional, spiritual things in our hearts. Some people do it through painting. Some people do it through different things. But we sing them. Let's mean them when we sing them. Let's experience them when we sing them. Let's open ourselves up to God. And we're going to practice that now. Choose to embrace first love. Choose to give ourselves to him. Choose to embrace our eternal destiny as sons. Choose to take the scroll and to surrender who we truly were to fully become history makers. We have to surrender to who he made us to be. So I'd encourage you again, as we just begin to think about Jesus knocking on that first love gate, start to think about it. If you need pictures to see that that's within our spirit, there's a door handle that's on our side. I want to encourage you just to activate your imagination as we practice doing that. If you've not done that, just think about the door. Think about Jesus on the other side of the door. And as you begin to think about it, just open up your hearts. Because Jesus is here in your heart and he's asking you to let him in. Will you open up that door of first love? Just begin to picture that door and use that door in your imagination as a doorway into this experience with first love. And as you open out, reach out with your hand, reach out with a choice in your mind, a thought, to open that first love gate and to invite his presence to fill you, to fill your heart with the fire of his presence. Just wait and sense him around you. Just make that choice to open up your hearts to him right now. Just receive love. Just let your emotions feel safe and secure in the power and strength of his love, his arms of love around you. Unconditional love. The fire of his love burning in your heart. Just allow your heart to melt in his embrace. Just express your love to him by the willingness to surrender. Make that choice to open your heart, to open yourself fully to him as he just fills you with his presence. Just as you stand with intimacy with him in your spirit, just ask him to take you back to before conception, when you were created as a spirit in his heart. As he takes you back, that may come to you as thoughts or visions or feelings, impressions around you of what it's like to be in his heart. Just rest there. Allow his thoughts to envelop you in the womb of his heart. Just feel that frequency of his love, that vibration within your spirit right now. Just let him reveal his heart to you. Let him whisper those amazing thoughts about you. How valuable you are. How he loves you with an eternal love. How he sees you as lovely, precious, perfect in his sight. Just let his words fill you. As he opens your scroll, just listen as he unveils that hidden mysteries those things, your destiny, before you. Just let him reveal your true identity. Let him show you your true purpose. Just let the truth of what was, what's written within your scroll, begin to transform what is. So you can come into agreement with the truth, which will release you to be. Just resonate with your scroll. Come into agreement, come into alignment. Just in that place of intimacy, and as we continue this morning in worship, just let that scroll, the scroll of revelation, be released to you. The scroll revealing who you are, revealing our redemptive gifts, and our purposes in God, revealing our true identity, our true destiny, scrolls revealing what we will be and what we will do. Just open your heart, open your spirit for the revelation of your scroll. Just let him brood over you. Let him speak those words over you. Let him reveal those words around you and in you. The truth. As you just prepare your hearts now, let this be a daily relational experience for you. Opening up your first love gate, experiencing true first love. As you surrender to His will and purpose for your lives, He will reveal your scroll. It will begin to unfurl and direct you each day for His will and purpose. Release the provision that's contained within it to enable you to outwork every good deed, to let your light shine with His glory. Day by day.